5:45. Kevin Martell back this week for Greg Morgan, who remains on holidays. And yeah, how about that win from the weekend? 70-80K gusts. That was the big talker. I'm surprised I honestly didn't see more debris, more trash, at least in my neighborhood. Usually the case after a strong, gusty wind. Did see a few pictures of a couple trees down, snapped, not quite in half, but some of the damage the wind had done. And yeah, a little bit of rain, a little bit of smoke. Nice that it was rainy in the north. Exactly what they needed up in the north, the rainfall. It's been a big help for firefighters. As we heard this weekend, 980 CJME special coverage of the devastating fires in northern Saskatchewan. Once again, this past weekend, we brought you live updates. We carried for you live the two wildfire updates from yesterday and from Saturday.
This rain was very, very much appreciated and needed.
Yeah, the agency's Marlo Pritchard, that would be the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency's Marlo Pritchard, says the rainfall provided relief to firefighting crews, but says there is a lot of work ahead. He says the rain gives the agency a chance to attack the fires when their intensity is low.
We cannot slow down, and we're not going to slow down. This is a time where we can take advantage of this small window of opportunity.
And now they're, well, looking at places like LaRonge and Pelican Narrows. They're going to get in there, get a closer look to see if people can start returning.
Making sure that the critical infrastructure, whether that be water, sewer, power, are on.
Other good news, Pritchard says most people from Weaquin have returned after its evacuation order was lifted just a few days ago. It's been raining on and off in Candle Lake as well. That massive Shoe Fire also hasn't moved any closer, so that's good news. Brent Lutz with the Resort Village wants community members to know crews are doing everything they can to protect the area.
And that individuals should not come back to the lake, nor should people make plans to try to defend against the fire for their property. That would be very risky.
This morning, we can tell you 24 wildfires are active across the province. 6 now are not contained. Now, Queen City X lineup, we're going to bring you back, Friday, kind of later morning, just in case you missed it, as people are looking for, you know, things to do. They're trying to plan out their summer holidays. Well, we have a better idea of who's now playing at the QCX. You walk away, yeah, the Reclaws, Blue Rodeo, the Glorious Sons, Sam Roberts Band, Biff Naked, and Kim Mitchell are playing this year. And remember, too, it's a different midway company operating at the QCX this year. A little bit different than what we've had in past years. Now it's West Coast Amusements for the foreseeable future. 41 rides, including several new ones, and the return of the fan favorite Zipper, which was retired by the North American Midway Entertainment. That was the previous ride operator here that brought the rides to the city. So a little bit new, a little bit old for this past year, and more affordable this year. That was one of the big focuses for the Queen City X this year, and it thinks it's hit that. General admission tickets will be $16, for example. And you can see a lot of the other prices on our website, cjme.com, this morning. And we'll also get some new food options as well. Fruity Pebble Corn Dogs, Ketchup Crunch Corn Dogs, and a cotton candy creator that shapes the sweet treat to people's liking. I think the example they used was Pikachu. If your child is really big into Pikachu, their cotton candy artists, I guess, will spin Pikachu for you. You can admire them and then eat them. And don't forget tonight, too, we are continuing to follow the Stanley Cup Final for you very closely. A Canadian team, hopefully for the first time since 1993, their quest, the Edmonton Oilers' quest to become champions. And game two, just as close as game number one. It went to double overtime, but this time the Oilers fell short. It was 5-4. And I don't know if there's anybody who doesn't think this series is a good game six or seven. It's been so close all the way through. Very exciting series to watch. Now we shift down to Sunrise, Florida for game three tonight. Yeah. 5:53 on your Monday morning. Thanks for joining us. The start of a new work week. Not quite as windy. This Thursday, Roll Call Radio will be holding a Saskatchewan Day of Caring to help those impacted by the destructive wildfires up north. From 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening that day, all six of our RALCO stations in this province will be accepting donations, which will go to the Red Cross so we can help those families and individuals affected. And all day, we will be having a series of stories for you, speaking with real people, speaking with the wildfire, those from the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency, getting the latest updates from communities, mayors across this province, those who have been out of their homes. And as you've been hearing over the weekend, finally some rain up north, some good news. It didn't put the fires out, remember, but it certainly does allow crews to, as you've been hearing, to, for example, get in maybe closer to LaRange, some other communities, to take a closer look to see perhaps what the damage is. And you look at the forecast this week, at least for Regina, not a whole lot of rain. And we still do have air quality warnings up for that LaRange area. And they had said that it wasn't going to be just one day and everything, all their problems would be solved. What they really want to see is, say, 3-4 days, a good soaker, kind of a consistent rain through the better part of a week to really get things under control. So let's hope that, I think they got between 10 and 20 millimeters up there. So hoping for a lot of people, 10 to 15,000 people out of their homes over the weekend. And we'll hear from our Will Mansa coming up a little bit later in the show. On this, he was in Batoche over the weekend. That's where they have a number of evacuees staying. But he was able to talk with one woman who left her home in LaRange and is now in Batoche, Beverly Roberts. And she talks about how, you know, it was just a kind of a almost a nightmare situation. As you're leaving your home, you have a wet face cloth on your, you know, covering your mouth because it's so smoky. You have to leave so many valuables behind because you're in such a rush. You know, only clothes and basic everyday items she picks up.
Forgetting things at home, forgetting meds, forgetting this, forgetting that, forgetting our cat, and just all the stress of not knowing where my grandchildren are, where my children are.
Yeah, that's not all she forgot.
My brother-in-law's ashes were still in the house and they weren't able to grab them. So he was cremated twice.
Yeah, that's horrible to hear stuff like that. And that's just one small story of the, you know, upwards of 15,000 people that are out of their homes. I mean, you replicate that 15,000 times more or less of people being in a rush of not being able to take some items that they want. This is the current situation here. But again, good news. Those in Weaquin are going home. Evacuation order lifted. So there is some progress being made, and we hope this week we'll continue to see that. 6:15, we now know the performers at this summer's Queen City X. Yeah, Blue Rodeo, the Glorious Sons, the Recklaws, Sam Roberts Band, Biff Naked, and Kim Mitchell, an all-Canadian lineup this year. And as well, it was announced the UCX is now partnering with West Coast Amusements for the foreseeable future. All this came down on Friday. West Coast will be providing about 41 rides this year, including several new ones, and the return of the fan favorite Zipper, which was, remember, retired by the North American Midway Entertainment. I've never been on the Zipper. That one, I don't think I can do. That one would just be too much for me. The show, there's also a push to make it more affordable. What we heard from those planning the Queen City X this year, general admission tickets will be $16, for example. You can find some of the other prices on our website, cjme.com. This year's QCX will also feature some new rides, foods, Fruity Pebble corn dogs, Ketchup Crunch corn dogs, and there's also a cotton candy creator that shapes the treat for you. So if you want, I don't know, they use the example of Pikachu. If your child wants a Pikachu, I guess they can shape it for them. So some differences this year for sure that maybe what you're used to over the last number of years. So an exciting time as you're planning the holidays with the family. The kids will be out of school in, well, the next couple weeks already here. 2.5 weeks, roughly. Entertainment of a different kind tonight. Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. It was another back-and-forth game, too. The Oilers tied it up in the dying seconds of the third period. Oiler fans in Saskatchewan here, we talked to, went wild at that moment.
I was, yes, jumping on my seat like, oh my God!
If there wasn't a table here, I'd be on the roof.
It was nuts. You know, the table went wild, the bar went wild, the horns went off.
And the game went into overtime for the second straight game.
Ahead for Marchand, moving in on Skinner. Marchand is, it's in, he scores! Marchand wins game two for the Panthers in double overtime.
Yeah, not the outcome Oiler fans wanted in Edmonton. Fans, though, are still hopeful.
Oil in five.
Yeah, this is the only one they give up.
I thought it was a heck of a hockey game. Honestly, it was back and forth. It was a toss-up.
Yeah, now the series shifts down to Sunrise, Florida for tonight's game three, with the series tied at one game apiece. Now, this one certainly feels like it'll go six or seven games. Two games so far, both decided in overtime. This is shaping up to be one of the best Stanley Cup finals that we've ever seen. Both teams are hungry. Edmonton and Captain Connor McDavid. And Florida, even though they won last year, you know, if you go back and you look at head coach Paul Maurice when he has the Stanley Cup and he kisses it, you cannot tell me that he is not just as motivated this year to have that Stanley Cup again. Just looking in his eyes, the sense of relief on his face. It's like, yeah, he wants his boys to have it just as bad this year. So again, game three tonight in Florida, between the Panthers and the Oilers.
Just like 6:22
on your Monday morning. Our newsroom talked to Environment Canada this morning, and they tell us that up north there should be some more rain today, which is certainly good news for those battling wildfires, the ongoing wildfires. 24 active wildfires this morning across the province. 6 are not contained. And of course, this follows the rain that area had over the weekend. Progress is starting to be made. 980 CJME just spent the weekend bringing you live wildfire updates each day, Saturday, yesterday as well. The very latest information in our special coverage of the devastating fires in northern Saskatchewan. Over the coming days, provincial crews will scope out areas like LaRonge and Pelican Narrows to see if they're safe enough those evacuation orders to be lifted. Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency President Marlo Pritchard says the situation is improved around those two areas.
The evacuation is always community-led. We continually assess the risks. You heard Brian talk about us going into communities and demobbing some of our values protection. But we're also looking at other risks, making sure that the critical infrastructure, whether that be water, sewer, power, are on, whether there is any safety concerns around fallen trees or access, smoke. So we continually work with communities to, I guess, best determine when those evacuation orders can be lifted.
Pritchard says most people have already returned to the hamlet of Weaquin. He says crews just helped out big time by that rainfall. He dives a little bit more into it.
More rain fell on the west side, gradually tapering off to the east. And this rain was very, very much appreciated and needed. We cannot slow down, and we're not going to slow down. This is a time where we can take advantage of this small window of opportunity. Gives the us and our firefighter partners a small window of taking the fight directly to these fires while their intensity is lower.
He says these on-the-ground assessments will help paint a clear picture of damage, but we know hundreds of structures are destroyed.
We know Denaire Beach is probably the community that was hardest hit. East Trout was also another community, or cabins and RVs were hit. So those are the two that we would say at this point in time were the hardest hit. But
Pritchard says right now there are between 10 and 15,000 evacuees in this province. Now, as you heard, people are out of their homes. About 100 are right now in Batoche, where a shelter is being used.
When you're going through the smoke and the fire, the flames are right there, and you feel the heat, and you're covering your mouth with a wet face cloth.
Yeah, that's the reality Beverly Roberts and her family faced while evacuating LeBron. She says it was such a rush leaving. They weren't able to grab any valuables, only clothes and basic everyday items.
Forgetting things at home, forgetting meds, forgetting this, forgetting that, forgetting our cat, and just all the stress of not knowing where my grandchildren are, where my children are.
That's not all she forgot.
My brother-in-law's ashes were still in the house and they weren't able to grab them. So he was cremated twice.
Yeah, that's tough to hear. Ugh. Buildings, not only buildings, but, we're talking of, in some cases, a well-known provincial park also damaged by wildfires. Paul Johnson is the assistant deputy minister for SAS Parks, and he says the Narrow Hills Provincial Park saw some serious losses.
Well, we did lose quite a bit of infrastructure. It wasn't everything in Narrow Hills, although it was fairly significant.
He says due to the fires destroying a lot of the landscape there, the park will be closed until next season to let the plant life regrow. Provincial firefighting base just north of Prince Albert was the target of an arson attempt. We're learning. Mounties there tell us last Thursday afternoon, someone on a bike entered the base area, poured an accelerant on a pile of wood, and then lit it. The fire was put out, but the person took off, and there is no description. More financial aid is coming from the provincial government for evacuees. As you've been hearing in the newscast with Andrew Shepherd this morning, the government says financial assistance has been doubled. The head of household and additional family members brings the daily maximum up to $200 per day. This aid is available for evacuees who have registered with the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency's Emergency and Community Support Program. Premier Mo is taking a harder look at what resources we have to fight wildfires in the future.
We have the agreements in place, not only the Canadian, but the North American agreements on how we would share those assets.
He says Saskatchewan would be interested in funding its portion of a national tanker fleet. He wants to restart that conversation with other provinces and the feds. Keep it locked here on 980 CJME. We will continue to bring you live updates on the wildfire situation up north.